And let's keep Elvis in the building for just one moment, okay? Essayist Darlene White says that Elvis slipped by her generation, the generation that grew up listening to Bob Dylan or The Doors. But then one day in 1976, a friend gave her a ticket to an Elvis concert.
Unimpressed, I held the ticket away from me like the tail of a stinking dead fish. In the end, I reluctantly agreed to go. Suspecting I might back out at the last minute, my friend arranged a ride for me with four people from the same ticket block, and when a big white Buick pulled up, I sighed and went out to meet it. Inside the car were two women wearing glitter-encrusted hot pants. Their dates had Elvis hairstyles and wore belt buckles the size of dinner plates. Neat costumes, I said, climbing in. When the Buick hit the highway, the driver slipped in a tape and turned to me. Sun Sessions, 1956, he said reverently. By the time we arrived at the concert, I knew two things. I knew there were people in this world who actually thought the lyrics to In the Ghetto were profound, and I knew these people were not wearing costumes.
And a hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as a cold wind blows in the ghetto.
Our seats were at floor level, eight rows back. The lights went off. "Ladies and gentlemen," boomed a voice in the darkness. "The King!" The lights came on, and there he was, Elvis Presley, jumpsuit and all. The place erupted. Elvis broke into a loungy Vegas-style number. "This lip used to curl a lot easier," he shouted, and I could certainly believe it. He was a walrus with long, wide sideburns, an overgrown walrus on quaaludes that had somehow managed to squeeze himself into a studded purple jumpsuit, complete with matching cape. The crowd settled down, and Elvis began to really sing and to sweat. He was obese. He was clumsy. He didn't quite hit all the high notes, and from our seats, I could see that when he went down on one knee, he wobbled a little coming up. But now he had my attention. Elvis kept hard at it, singing, spinning, staggering. His bloated face was dripping with sweat. The lights dimmed. Elvis began a cut from the Sun recordings. He leaned into the microphone, and as he sang real deep those words from Mystery Train, a bright pang of truth pierced me. I would always remember this moment. Elvis swung into a bluesy version of Jailhouse Rock. We spilled out of our seats and into the aisle. Pushed forward by the crowd behind us, we surged past security like demented salmon right up to the stage. Looking up, we saw Elvis bend toward us slowly. He leaned over the face of the tall blonde woman next to me and kissed her on the lips. Stunned, frozen, and inches away, I watched Elvis in slow motion as a single bead of sweat fell off his eyelash and onto the woman's cheek. Then he jumped back, spread his legs wide, and pointing to me, he broke into Heartbreak Hotel.
I'll be so lonely, I could die.
The rest was a blur. I remember exhaustion and dozing in the Buick to the muted strains of Sun Sessions. And I remember vague thanks and mumbled goodbyes as I watched that Buick drive away from my house. When Elvis died less than a year later, great musicians praised him. At the time, I suspected they might be right. Today, I know they are. Sun Sessions, I say reverently now, to youthful hip-hop skeptics, 1956.
Darlene White is a writer in Western Massachusetts.
You've got a tale to tell, or to take a walk down the lonely street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be, because so lonely, baby, where you will be lonely.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.